Blog Talk Radio.
Call 12 men to come wade in the water with me. They wrestled out 12 big old stones, a memorial to be. Well, one by one they stacked them stones before God's people's eyes, just to be a landmark on the shore after all of them died. After all of them died. Stacked them stones one on another. Stacked them stones for all to see. Stacked them stones one on another. Stacked them stones for you and me. For the children of Israel. All right, good evening. It is Thursday evening. And this is the Old Paths Broadcast, and I'm Pastor Jason Cooley here this evening. And as we look out, it is a very humid, humid day today in Minnesota. But we thank the Lord that we have air conditioning, amen, and it's way better than 50 below. I'd rather have the heat anytime than have the frozen tundra that we lived with for, man, I think it was 8 or 9 months. It just didn't go away. So we thank the Lord for heat. It's better than the cold. But anyway, we're coming to you here live, and lots going on in our world here. What a crazy time this is. It's a very volatile time in the United States and even around the world. But, I mean, just in America right now, just the ridiculous atrocities that are going on here in America. It's just quite frightening, actually, when we look at it. And we see everything that's happening today. Just give you some of a heads up on some of the things that are actually going on right now in our world. In our wake up section here, we're going to look at a few of those things. And man, I'll tell you, it's incredible. Things are moving rapidly. You know, things aren't slowing down; they're speeding up as we see. It's just unbelievable. Take, for instance, Pope Francis here. This week, he meets with charismatic church leaders to plan the return to Mother Church. These apostate charismatics have decided they're going to... You know, we watched a video of these guys, this Tony Palmer, this Anglican priest. I think he's a Jesuit, and he's working for Rome. But his return to Big Papa here. And then Kenneth Copeland's church, they all want to merge and just be one. And hey, let's just all be one. You know, there's something going on right now in our world. And it's this desire to be unified, this desire to be one. It's unbelievable, but it's very popular. It's this desire in theology to be one with everybody, that everybody's just one together. We all believe the same thing. We all got to agree, and we all got to just get along, and we all got to yoke up with each other, and everybody's just got to be together. And then there's the other side of this. The other side of it is this physical desire of unity. I mean, we want to have all one sex, the unisex. Not male and female as God had made them. Unisex, all one, all the same. They all want to be the same. Everybody wants to be a God. Everybody wants to be the same. And that's really what it is. Everybody wanting to be the same. And, you know, the Pope is part of that whole game. the Pope is part of that whole game. You know, he's got his Pope Francis here, bringing him into the Mother Church. A flash forward to today in Vatican City, Rome. And who do we see meeting around the table? It looks like the charismatic leader, Kenneth Copeland, Roman Catholic priest, Tony Palmer, and assorted others from the charismatic movement in Toronto, breaking bread with the false prophet from the Book of Revelation. Pope Francis. Well, he's probably a picture one anyway. And just in case you forgot, Tony Palmer's original message. I heard that original message, and you can download it in this nowtheendbegins.com/blog. And just look up, just go to their nowtheendbegins.com, and you can see their page. And you can listen to this message that he preached. And boy, this guy is a fantastic speaker. He's not a good preacher. He's a wolf. But he's a good speaker. I met a lot of good speakers in my life. They weren't good preachers, but they were good speakers. They could be good orators. They could tell a good story. They could preach a good line, but they weren't biblical preachers. They were not biblical men of God. So we see that's what the old Pope is doing there. But boy, he's in the news every day. He's not stopped there either. He comes out June 26th, today I think it is, Pope Francis decrees that individual salvation outside of Roman Catholic Church does not exist. Doesn't exist. That's interesting because I'm saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. I've been born again, washed in his blood. And that dirty little rotten heathen didn't touch me. Nor am I a part of his whore church. So the Bible calls it, by the way, a whore. Amen. Rightfully so. She is that picture of that strange woman in Proverbs chapter 7, that corrupt woman that leadeth astray, that leadeth to the pit. Her ways lead to hell. Death is about her. Amen. So, but the Pope here, he recognizes that he says, no salvation outside of the Roman Catholic Church. He gave a sermon on July 25th in Rome where he dispelled any and all lingering doubt about how the Vatican views worldwide Christianity. Francis once again declared his unshakable belief that the Roman Catholic Holy Mother Church, the very same one mentioned in Revelation 17 and 18 as the Whore of Babylon, is the one and only church. Listen to Pope Francis as he tells you in his own words. He says this, and I quote, no one becomes Christian on his or her own. Is that clear? No one becomes Christian by him or herself. Christians are not made in a laboratory. A Christian is part of a people who comes from afar. The Christian belongs to a people called the church, and this church is what makes him or her Christian on the day of baptism and then in the course of catechesis and so on. But no one becomes a Christian on his or her own. If we believe, if we know how to pray, if we acknowledge the Lord and can listen to his word, if we feel him close to us and recognize him in our brothers and sisters, it is because others before us lived the faith and then transmitted it to us. We have received the faith from our fathers, from our ancestors, and they instructed us in it. In the past 2,000 years, this pagan, end quote, by the way, in the past 2,000 years, the pagan-based Catholic Church system has been hands down far away, it says here in this article. The Vatican murdered Christians for 300 years in catacombs, for 300 years during the Spanish Inquisition, and will once again kill them in record numbers during the coming days of the Great Tribulation. Now, dear, let's see, what does he say here? Let's see, listen again to Francis as he tells you that without the Virgin Mary and the Church of Rome, you cannot know God. And I quote, dear friends, let us ask the Lord through the intercession of the Virgin Mary. Anybody want to find that in Scripture, that intercession of the Virgin Mary? Yeah, not there. Mother of the, back to quote, Mother of the Church, for the grace to never fall into temptation of thinking we can make it without others, that we can get along without the church, that we can save ourselves alone of being Christian or of the laboratory. On the contrary, you cannot love God without loving your brothers. You cannot love God outside of the church. You cannot be in communion with God without being so in the church. Wow. Well, of course, he doesn't know what a real church is. He only has a mystical, visible one that that he uses to control people, that has made a fortune off them, and that sits on trillions of dollars and is very wealthy doing what they do. Very wealthy altogether. So it's worked for him in that sense. He's been able to make all kinds of money, and the popes before him have been able to make all kinds of money. And they live richly on this earth, and they profit richly on this earth. But one day, God is going to deal with all of them. One day, he's going to destroy them. One day, he's going to destroy that beast and that Antichrist and that false prophet. He is going to destroy them in the lake of fire, and they will be there for all of eternity. In the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That they will see. That they will see one day. It's coming. That destruction of the great whore is coming. I hope you're not caught in that whore. I hope you're not part of that wicked system. I hope you've been saved by the grace of God and called out of that wicked system of Rome, because its ways lead to death. Also, another one, the Pope Francis orders Vatican to create first ever art exhibition to promote Chrislam. Well, that'd be interesting. Very interesting. We'll see how that plays out, huh? In other news, I saw an interesting thing here the other day, and just by way of warning, the spirit world is nothing to play with. There was a few kids in Mexico, three American kids, I believe, that decided they were going to play with a Ouija board. While they were playing with that Ouija board, those spirits possessed them. And, man, they had to hold them down on gurneys and tie them down, and they were muttering, and they were speaking in low speech, and they were going nuts and then laughing and all kinds of things. So the doctors had to deal with them. They had to take them to the emergency room to try to deal with them. That's what was going on. Folks, you can't play with spirits. The Bible says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, and having their conscience seared with a hot iron. So, we are fastly approaching the time here when these devils are going to be everywhere. And they are in the spirit world, but I mean, they're going to manifest themselves in people. They do somewhat now, but it's getting worse. And as evil ramps up, as the wickedness of this world ramps up, you're going to see more of this visible manifestation as God allows this to happen. And we're seeing these things all the time, but you're also seeing it in politics and people. And it's getting pretty sad out there. Well, they're all on the same team, as you know, these politicians. And I thought it was interesting that you have a picture with John Kerry with ISIS just a few months ago when he was over there. And now ISIS is the new Al-Qaeda enemy. ISIS is the new Al-Qaeda enemy. And, they're the new Al-Qaeda. They're the new, what they are basically is a CIA-born enemy. We actually funded them. We actually funded them to do what they're doing. And now they were there to take over Syria and do everything they were doing there. And now they're in Iraq. They're there now. They're in Iraq. Isn't that something? What are they doing there? No clue. How about they're trying to attack Syria through Iraq? You think, baby? And now they're just going to take over the country of Iraq and drag us even more. We are never leaving Iraq. You have to understand that. Iraq, there's a lot of things going on there. There's a lot of clues. There's a lot of clues to what's going on in Iraq. I mean, Iraq, to many, is ancient Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar was there. Saddam Hussein recognizes that. he understood what was going on. When we kind of created and funded Saddam Hussein, and when we were done with him, we killed him. That's what we do to people that we're done with in America like that. We just go ahead and take them out. So you have that going on. And we have these endless wars. That war is just like, it's like somebody's middle name now. It's no big deal. It's just like, speak the middle name. It's like their first name, their last name. It's just so common now. Doesn't matter. War is just war. And they're down for more wars. And then you have, of course, you have right here at home where both sides. Listen, can I clear something up for you? These people are all on the same side, okay? So when you see when you see Speaker Boehner say he's going to sue President Obama, well, big deal. Why? Well, first of all, if you're going to do something, you impeach the guy. If you got something against him, you impeach him. Okay? Second of all, that's not going to do anything. Because then we're stuck with Biden. What do you do with Biden? I mean, he's crazy. He's insane. The man needs medication. He's probably on medication. He needs to get saved. That's what he needs. But anyway... medication hasn't helped him any. He's probably got enough spirits floating around in him. But the man is absolutely insane. Most of these people are Luciferian anyway, okay? That's just what they are. But I find it very sad that you see our case where there's nothing going on with the border. There's nothing going on with securing the borders. There's nothing going on with this immigration push and all these other... There really is nothing to it. It's just... It's all a game that they're playing. Just the impeachment talks, all these other things, they're just a bunch of games. They're just a bunch of games that people are playing. And unfortunately, it's a game to them. But it's not to us, because we are gonna reap what they are sowing. And it's not going to be pretty at all. It's not going to be pretty at all. You know, we ought to be awful scared at what's going on right now. Not as a Christian. I mean, big deal. You know, we already know what the end is going to be. But as Americans, as we look and see what's really going on, We better be scared for our loved ones, because time is fastly approaching. The deceivingness is coming upon all. Our country is waxing worse and worse. And we need to be prepared for that and prepare others for that. We need to get out there and tell the truth. And I don't mean just politics, folks. I mean the gospel. I mean, we need to tell them the truth. See, people see things through a right-left understanding. You know, but remember, they're right and left wings of the same bird. And we need to understand that there are people out there that they don't have Christ. And if you don't have Christ, you're going to follow the New World Order. You just are. Because the Bible says it's the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, such as were some of you. That's how you were. You were like them. But now you're washed. Now you're saved. Now you've been born again. Now you've been rescued. You've been changed. Well, in other news, what's going on here in America right now? Well, we've got a lesbian, homosexual, bisexual, whatever you want to call it, chalk it up to perverts. You have them now wanting to absolutely take over everything. I was just reading an article, somebody from the military, somebody from the Navy, had on their page, here it is, SEAL Team 6 member becomes Pentagon's poster girl in transgender recruiting. A former member of SEAL Team 6 has become the poster girl, has become a poster girl for what? For the transgender movement. Poster child for it. Can you believe it? I mean, is it unbelievable that this is where we are now in America? You got SEAL Team 6. How about it? I thought they were all dead anyway. I don't know. I can't keep track of these guys. I thought they were all dead. I thought SEAL Team 6 was like sixth. I thought they were done. I keep hearing conflicting reports about SEAL Team 6. Well, they didn't kill this one. They just turned him into a woman. But you can't turn somebody into a woman. You're God made them male and female. And hey, let me tell you something, transgender people out there, perverts, sodomites, effeminate. Let me tell you something, that God did not make a mistake with you. God did not make a mistake making you male or making you female. God didn't make a mistake there. God makes no mistakes. Okay? He didn't make any mistakes. So you got to understand that God made you right and you went wrong. You know what the Bible says about that? I'm going to give you a verse. Give me a second here. Let's see. I believe it is. I can't find the reference right this second. Might be any, let me see, it might be any Ecclesiastes. Hold on a second. But I just thought of it, and I can't remember the reference. Here it is, Ecclesiastes 7:29. Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. God hath made man upright. But what did man do? He sought out many inventions. Interesting how they try to lay it to the charge of God Almighty for what takes place in their wickedness and their sin. They try to, well, I was born that way. I was born that way. No, my friend, sin. You were born and you have a sin nature, and sin hath consumed you. And you will not repent of that. And you will, if you don't repent of that sin, you're going to die and go to hell. Because that's what the scriptures say. Bible says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. You just remember that God didn't make you messed up. Yes, you're born a sinner, but you choose what sins you commit. And the only way that you can be saved from your sins, no matter what that sin is, the only way you can be saved is through the blood of Jesus Christ. The only way you can be forgiven is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, what else is going on? Virtual crime-free county in Florida gets MRAP armed vehicle. Residents express outrage and intimidation tactic used to strike fear. Yeah, all the sheriffs now are getting these big, huge, the sheriffs are supposed to work for you and I. But guess who they work for? The federal government. They're militarizing the police. And what are they doing it for? I don't know why they're doing it. I have no clue. All right, let's see who I got online here. Let's see. All right, who do I have here? Anybody on here? All right, I don't have anybody on there. All right, let's mute that. All right, who do
Can
I
you
have
me, brother?
Here? It's you, it's Brother Brendan.
I was hiding out all along in the queue. I just couldn't hear me.
I couldn't hear you.
Well, sound like a lot's going on in the news.
Brother,
as
I'm
usual.
Telling you. It is insane.
Yeah, it's getting quick, isn't it? It's starting to turn into a very fast vortex of bad news.
Boy, I mean, look at this. You got the Pope who's not pulling any punches. I mean, he's just coming out and he's getting it done, man.
He's trying to hurry and get this thing on the road, isn't he?
Yeah. I mean, at rapid speed.
I know, brother. I'm telling you. I'm excited. I'm expecting the Lord anytime. I mean, I really am. I'm expecting him anytime. I mean, you know, I make no bones about it. I'm pre-trib, and I'm not challenging anybody with that. I'm just, that's the way I believe my end times eschatology. But, you know, I'm just looking for him. I mean, it's not that I don't expect America to go down in flames, because I surely do. Because of all the grace that's been given to her, and now she's just absolutely thumbing her nose and sticking her tongue out at God. And, I'm surprised God hadn't ended it before now. But he's very, that just speaks to his mercy and his long-sufferingness. Because I'm surprised we're still here, brother. I'm surprised that they're able to prop up this feeble economy that we have. And I'm surprised we haven't had revolts and everything else by now. I mean, enough people's eyes are open. You know, it's just amazing to me the whole thing hasn't imploded.
Yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable, brother. It's remarkable. Well, I believe God is just withholding it, you
right.
know, until the time. I believe that it's not quite time yet, and God is just not allowing it to all take place yet.
Right, and you know, God may be of a mind that America's not going to revolt against its tyrants, that it's just going to go down without a whimper, and
well,
he can surely make that happen.
Well, personally, I just believe that America doesn't care.
Right.
Most people don't care. They're at ease in Zion. You know, they don't care.
Right. What a sad commentary.
Yeah, you talk to the average people, brother. They don't care. I mean, you try to tell the truth.
That makes you sick.
I know it does. But you can blame the pastors for it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm going to, you know what? Brother, I'm going to tell you one thing, you know, and I'm not patting myself on the back, and I know you're not doing it either, but I can tell you one thing. You and I and a bunch of other preachers we know ain't going to have to hang our heads, because we've tried to warn people. And, you know, I mean, I wouldn't dare brag on myself for one second, but I thank God for every saint of God who's preaching the truth, because I wouldn't want to stand in the shoes of one who was afraid to do it, And I wouldn't want to stand in the shoes of one, you know, who just wouldn't for whatever laziness or whatever reason.
Yeah. Amen. I mean, we've given an answer.
Amen.
You know, we've given an answer.
Once you've seen the truth, you can't go back and lie to yourself and tell yourself that it's not so.
Yeah, I know. You can't forget about it either. You can't just close your head off and go back to sleep and stick your head in the sand because it don't work.
No, believe me, I've tried to back away just for my own sanity's sake, but you can't hide from what you know. And, you know, you might as well do something with it. I mean, I looked at it two ways. I can either be quiet and just try to do the best I can, or I can make a whole lot of noise, and maybe I get knocked down first, but maybe 100 more stand up behind me. That's
Amen.
Kind of been my outlook.
Amen. And that's the way we have to be. We've got to be diligent and vigilant, you know.
We're ambassadors.
Yeah, that's right. And you know what? It's not getting any easier.
No. No, I showed the videos that you posted on YouTube. Actually, I showed the first one last night at our church. And I told them, I said, you know, I know that you've not been faced with this. I know that you've not experienced this, but I want you to show you what resistance to the preaching of the gospel is out there so that you understand. Because I told them, you know, I intend in the near future to ramp that up here in our area. And we're going to get resistance, so I want you to anticipate it, and I want you to get to praying for these preachers who are struggling and are going through the fire right now. So, you know, I just wanted to get them alert and aware, and I tell you what, brother, it's definitely, we're turning into a Gestapo, our police departments are. They're turning into Gestapo.
And what was the response from your folks when they seen it?
Well, they just couldn't believe that was happening.
Yeah.
Just like, wow, that's really happening. You know, I mean, of course, they thought you handled yourself very well. And, of course, as soon as we saw the telephone come out, somebody said, he's probably calling Brother Finney. I said, that's exactly what he's doing.
Yep.
But, amen. But, you know, we need to be ready for that. We need to get our mindset right. We're just trying to peel people away from their television sets. We're trying to peel
Amen.
People away from their movie house going, trying to peel them away from their stereos and their iPads and their iPods.
Amen.
And their just long enough to look truth square in the eye, and it'll shake them to their core.
Amen. That's right. And, you know, we really try to snap people out of this. And, man, I'm all for using all those devices because I use them. But, man, use them for truth and use them to help others and get the
Absolutely.
Truth out there. Use them for the glory of God to get truth out there to people. That's what we're using it for. That's what we study and do all the things that we do for the glory of God to try to reach people and get them the truth out there because time is short.
Amen. And I do. I thank God that he's allowed us to have this technology. I mean, I was talking to a brother last night on Facebook who was sharing with me that he's promoting my messages to a friend who is sending them to Copenhagen, Denmark.
Wow.
And that his sister said she's heard the truth, I think, from myself and you and a few others that she's come out of the Calvary Chapel, the Charismania. And is serving the Lord. So, you know, I mean, just...
Amen.
I'm excited to know that, you know, that we're able to reach as many as we can, because I would have never dreamed when I surrendered to preach that anybody anywhere other than this little three-state area would have ever heard of me or heard of the
Yeah, Lord. Amen.
So, you know, I do praise God for it. But,
Amen.
Boy, that's it. I tell you, and I don't understand why more people don't understand what we see on a daily basis. I think they're just still stuck in that rut of, I'm going to get my news from the mainstream media, and let Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity, everybody's been hanitized for my protection.
Hanitized.
Mark Levin, the great one. You know, all that stuff. And, you know, and Rush Limbaugh, and I hate to pick on the guy, but Rush Limbaugh and his new Mickey Mouse voice that he has.
Sounds like now?
Yeah, he had a problem with it. He went deaf, and they installed something into his middle ear, I guess, that allows him to hear now. And, but he kind of talks in a Mickey Mouse kind of voice.
Does he squeaky. Really?
Well, it's not that high, but I'm...
Does he sound like Steven Anderson now?
Yeah, probably closer to Steven Anderson.
I'm going to get myself in trouble now, you know.
Yeah, I know. But anyway.
I think I live there. I think there's a street, and it's called Trouble, and I think I live on it.
You live in the last house, don't you?
I do. I do. It seems like I do. I never leave that street. I just keep walking up and down that street, brother.
Oh, well.
Let's talk about what happened. Let me give a little bit of an update about what happened so folks understand here.
Preaching. I've only seen the first video. I don't even know what's on the second video, so I'm excited to find out some more about it tonight.
Yeah, well, listen, the second video, or what happened to us, we went out preaching. Brother Paul and I and my dad's faithful to go out with us and hand out tracts, and he talks to people. And my son goes out with us, and then Brother Paul's two sons go with us, and they're younger boys, a young man, and one's a young man's 14 or 15, and he comes with us. And so we're out, we go to this little town next door to Northfield here, just a little itty-bitty town, not very big. And this town is, it's called Faribault, Minnesota, and it's spelled Faribault, but it's pronounced Faribault. So how about that?
Yeah.
Anyway, so we go to this little town, and there's an expo, like something going on in the town. Oh, Faribault Heritage. Right, it was called Faribault Heritage Days.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, so we decide to go there and preach because we've never preached there really in that town before. Well, Brother Paul preached one time outside of a liquor store and got himself in a little bit of trouble there, but he didn't do anything illegal, but they just didn't know how to handle it. Well, they didn't know how to handle this either, so we went downtown and right across from the event, so nobody could say, "Hey, you're right at the gate trying to stop people from coming in." We didn't do that. We went across the street and we preached. And, well, I mean, you'd have thought we were invading the city or something because, they called 911 and people got all upset and mad and called, you know, multiple people called 911 and I mean, it just got crazy. Well, I mean, you'd have thought those folks were under attack or something.
Right.
But, anyway, so then the cops showed up, and in that tape that you watched the first video, I believe, and in the first video, this sergeant, well, I think he was the sergeant. No, he wasn't the sergeant. An officer came up, and he pokes Paul like three times. I don't know if you noticed that when he walks up to him. He says, "Hey," and he pokes him. By the way, that's illegal. You're not supposed to do that. You know, you don't put your hands on somebody unless you're going to arrest them like that. You don't put your hands on them. But anyway, so he pokes him like three times and says, "Hey, get down from there." And then I said, "Well, no, he doesn't have to get down from there. Can I help you with something?" And he said he does have to get down from there because I told him to. I said, "Well, he hasn't broken any laws." And then I told the officer to go ahead and if we broke any laws, to go ahead and cite us. And he said, "Well, if I cite you, I'm gonna arrest you and take you to jail." I said, "Okay." And he said, and then he said to us, he said, "Well," he goes, "I I'm gonna go get the sergeant. You're gonna be, I'm gonna go get the sergeant." And I said, "Well, okay, go ahead and go get him." And man, he didn't like that.
Yeah.
That's when did you notice how angry he got when I said, "Go ahead and go get him"?
Yeah, and you told him that when he chilled his rights.
Right. I told him what he did is he chilled. I said, you've already chilled his rights because you've already
broken the law.
Yeah, I told him he broke the law. And he said, and he, did you like that, brother? You sound like you liked that.
Yeah, I mean, I love to see a man have some guts, you know? I mean, it just makes me want to stand up and just shout.
And I hated doing it. It wasn't very comfortable, but, you know, it's just the Lord took over, and he really did. And I said, listen, he's not doing anything wrong. And, well, yes, he is. And he said, well, I said, you broke the law. He goes, no, I didn't. I said, yes, you did. And then he said, well, I'm going to go get the sergeant. I said, well, go ahead. And he goes, hey, wait a minute. I said, well, I said, you go get the sergeant and I'll call my lawyer.
Yeah, he got really, really concerned. He threw that hand up and said, oh, hey.
Right. Right.
They don't like dragging lawyers into anything.
Well, no, and you know what? Neither do I. And I don't even like going as far as we have to go with this, is they would just recognize our God-given rights guaranteed to us in the Constitution. If they would recognize that, then we wouldn't have a problem.
Right. Amen.
But so anyway, so he left and he went and got, and here I thought he was coming back with Sergeant, and he came back with some blonde haired lady.
Right.
And she came back, and I'm like, wouldn't you know it? I mean, I preach against feminism and all kinds of things, and here, what do I run into? The first thing I run into.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's like.
Feminist
like,
Sergeant.
It's like it's irony. But anyway, so she comes back and. And, you know, they really don't accomplish much. They just said, well, I go, I'd like to know what in the world we've done wrong or what law we've broken. And she said, well, I don't have a law book with me. I said, well, I said,
you got to know what you're going to do.
Yeah. I'm like, wait a minute now. I mean, you know, it's disorderly conduct or whatever. So then they left, right? They just took off when they figured out we called their bluff.
Right.
All I can assume it was. I mean, at that point, it was a bluff. It changed.
Well, they didn't. At that point, you knew more than they did, and that's why they couldn't stay.
Yeah, they didn't know what to do. So they left, and about an hour later, they come pulling up again, and they're walking. In the next video, they're walking around, and they're walking around everywhere. And they're trying to, then they're taking video of us and pictures of us and all this stuff, which is fine. Well, they take all the videos, all the pictures and everything, and then they say, well, you know, they come back over and she says, well, if you guys don't leave, we're going to cite you and you're going to be arrested. And I said, okay, well, what are you going to, and I kept asking her questions. I said, one of the questions, and listen, you always have to ask questions, because then they give straight answers, just like cops do to you. They ask you enough questions so you'll hang yourself with them. That's why they do that.
Right.
So you got to do the same thing and ask them enough questions. That way they have to answer for their own words. Hmm. Well, I asked her, I said, well, is street preaching illegal in Faribault, Minnesota? She said, yes.
Hmm.
I said, okay. And then she said that we broke the law there, and that they were going to cite us and arrest us if we didn't leave. So I looked at her and I said, you know, your city ordinance cannot supersede the First Amendment.
Amen.
And she said, well, you know, she didn't really say anything then. She just kind of, she said, you can't be telling people that they're going to hell or something like that. She said, people are scared because you're telling them they're going to go to hell. And, you know, I said, that's protected speech.
Right.
And she says, well, you know, they're all scared and nervous because you're telling them for things they do, they're going to hell. And I'm thinking, you know, and stop there for a second, and I want you to think about this. You know what's really extremely funny about that? everybody puts down street preaching and says nobody's listening and it doesn't work. Really? Well, how come all these people, called 911 and they were all scared that they were going to hell?
Wow. When you really put it in those terms, it's kind of amazing how the power of God rolled through Faribault, Minnesota.
It is, isn't it? I thought it was quite fascinating. And then basically, so they came over, they took Brother Paul's ID. Brother Paul went back up and said, "I'm not leaving. Just so you know, I'm not leaving." And I said, "Well, I'm not going to leave either." I said, "Well, I'll pack up these guys. Because if you're under arrest, you're under arrest. I mean, there's nothing we're going to do. If they're going to arrest us, they're going to arrest us." And I was going to send my dad home with the kids, you know. Send them home. And then I said, "Well, I'll go and I'll get everything packed up." But then I told him, "Well, I'm not leaving Brother Paul. I'll stay here with him. And if we both go to jail, then we both go to jail. Either way, he's got to be bonded out, I guess. So, but if we're going to go to jail, we're going to go to jail together because didn't one of us do anything wrong. So I'll be fine going to jail for this any day."
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, that's how it went. And then they took his ID information and they left. And they walked out back over to their car, and then they said he was going to be under arrest. Well, they never arrested him.
Hmm.
And they left. And then we were done preaching in 5 minutes anyway, because Brother Paul preached for another 10 minutes. We had already been there a couple hours. It's like 90 degrees out. It's hot. And you're only going to preach a couple hours to two guys. I mean, you ain't going to preach that long.
Right.
So, anyway, so then we just left. But then... I mean, because of what they did, we had to continue it. So Brother Finney has been dealing with the police there, the chief of police. He called the city attorney, dealt with the chief of police, and he's going to update me soon on anything he hears from them. So. We don't know what's going to happen. We're moving. I mean, we're preparing work for a federal injunction in case we need it. Because otherwise, we're not going to be able to go back there and preach if they're going to arrest us. Because we'll just go back there and get arrested if that's the case. Because we're not breaking any law. And, we're not doing anything wrong. So, that's just the way it goes.
Amen. That's right. That's something that we've not really had to deal with much in America is being arrested for preaching. But it's going to become a commonplace thing as long as open air preaching is commonplace. And I feel like it's going to knock down a whole lot of people that would do it. It's going to weed out the pretenders from the real preachers.
Yeah, I think so. I think you're finding a lot of people. I mean, there's a lot of pastors that'll be extremely bold in what they say from their pulpits on Sunday, which they should, but they wouldn't preach against sin like that and preach the law, a schoolmaster to bring men to Christ and all that. They wouldn't do that from the street. A lot of them wouldn't.
Right.
They wouldn't be willing to.
Amen. Today it's looked upon as hate speech.
Sure is. Sure is, brother, and it's getting worse. It ain't getting better.
That's right.
So we got to, if we don't exercise these rights, we are gonna continue to lose them.
Mm-hmm. Liberty once lost is lost forever.
That's right. That's right. No truer statement there, that's for sure. Concerning
the Bible, anyway. The Bible says, buy the truth and sell it not. So, If we give up on these rights that we have that our forefathers bled and died for, we're selling the truth. We're giving it away basically, and we won't get it back. We won't get this freedom to preach the truth back.
Amen. Do we got somebody on hold here? I wonder who we got here on 77. That number there. Let's see. Hey, is that somebody coming in right now? We got somebody on? Hello.
That's just me, brother.
It's you. Okay. All right. Anybody on right now? We have a caller here? Anybody? Hello.
I think it's Brother Lonnie.
That's Brother Lonnie. Okay, we're going to shut him off right now. We don't want his mic live, that's for sure, brother.
No. Hey, Brother Lonnie's at a rodeo tonight.
Well, we definitely don't want his mic live then.
No, he's at a rodeo where my daughter is actually barrel racing tonight, and I'm at home doing the radio show while they're all at the rodeo. So
The rodeo and you're on the radio.
That's right. So if you're out there listening tonight, say a prayer for my daughter Megan. She's 8 years old and she's on a great big horse flying through an arena around barrels. So pray for her safety. She's already fell on the shoulder once.
Ouch. That can't feel good.
Yeah, I personally think she's crazy to do it, but it's something she's passionate about and loves. And so we'll let her do it. She gets tired of it.
All right. Well, let's see here. Well, listen, tonight we want to talk about, you know, the Hollywood sodomite movement. And, you know, I've been looking at a lot of things, Brother Brandon, here recently. And one of the things that I've been looking at that is very troubling to me is this rise, and I'm going to preach on this probably Sunday, Lord willing, if that's what God wants me to do, but on this transgender movement that is just gaining in popularity. And I know tonight's show is not really about that, but it's just this transgender movement is so popular, and this sodomite transgender, and I know this is the month, and you pray for us, because Saturday we are going outside of a sodomite expo downtown Minneapolis, and we're going to be preaching.
Now, you said next month?
No, this Saturday.
Hey, brother, do you think it's, you said it's this month that there's a lot of things going on?
Yeah, this month is the Obama declared it gay, lesbian, bisexual, whatever.
Oh, okay. Well, that's probably because he went to his big sodomite orgy fest out there at Bohemian Grove, I would imagine.
Well, you think that might have something to do with it?
It could, very well could. I mean, that's when they have their big play days.
They're a bunch of Luciferians.
Yeah.
Bunch of sickos. Our world is ran by Lucifer. He's the god of the world. And people don't understand that. That's when people try to sing me the praises of the nation of Israel. And I'm like, would you understand that every government in this world has been taken over by Lucifer? And there's agents in every government in this world.
Can I say something just for the record tonight?
Yeah.
Every Jew in Israel that does not come in repentance and faith to the Lord Jesus Christ and believe upon his shed blood as the payment for their sin cannot come to the Father who they claim to worship and will spend eternity in hell. As plain as be. And they are lost. The majority of that nation is a bunch of very lost people who worship the devil and don't even know it, because they deny the Son. And they are an enemy of God, and they claim to be his people. And listen, there will come out of that people a remnant who will turn to God, who will believe on him during the time of great tribulation on this earth. And until then, that nation is not honoring God. Just wanted to say it.
Amen. Amen. That's right, brother.
I do pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And that only way that city of Jerusalem is going to have peace is when the Prince of Peace comes back and sits upon the throne of David. And that's the only way that I see that verse applying about praying for the peace of Jerusalem.
Amen. Amen. That is the only way of peace. There is no peace without the Prince of Peace.
Amen. Now we get all the haters.
Understand that. What's that?
I said, now we'll get all the haters to call in and call me a heretic.
That's not heretic. That's his Bible.
Amen. That's right.
Straight Bible. Well, listen, I want to talk to you about that sodomite agenda there of Hollywood. And, you know, we've been seeing some of these things here recently. And you know, they're rather shocking, actually, that the things that we have actually ran across here in our news. I think of that X-Men director.
Oh yeah.
And his situation of covering up sodomy, basically, of these young boys. There seems to be this sick fetish, like Sandusky and these others, of these young boys, and this trafficking of children like that.
Yeah, I mean, those who prey upon young boys, what they call it, a chicken hawk, I think,
yeah.
In terminology. Yeah, that's old as old can be. I mean, that's nothing new. As long as, you know, even back in the days of Rock Hudson and Liberace, I mean, that it's been going on.
Yeah, and Hollywood just basically grooms them for it. Remember
Charles Nelson Reilly, Rip Taylor. These may be ahead of your time or before you, but there were so many back in the 70s who were out, and people didn't call it that. They're just like, oh, he's just a really goofy guy. But no, he's a sodomite.
And Hollywood has what they call a sodomite curtain, and I mean it's pretty obvious there. But there's an agenda. There's been an agenda, and I want to talk about that agenda here tonight. And you know, we're gonna kind of deal with that tonight a little bit and try to break that down, because you know Hollywood is one of the main perverters of the world.
Amen.
And whatever message they're sending out or whatever they're promoting is sent out to everyone. It's sent out everywhere. It goes to every nation. A television broadcasting is broadcasted or is seen or is beamed in. I mean, it's everywhere. And
yes,
they make no apologies for what they do.
They are a master manipulator.
Absolutely. And they're a trendsetter.
Mm-hmm.
And you know they are setting the trends in this world, unfortunately. And I want to talk about that. In 1 Kings chapter 14, verse number 24, the Bible says, "And there were also sodomites in the land, and they did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel." You know, there were sodomites in the land. And every time we see in the scriptures where there's sodomites in the land, what do we see? This mass perversion and confusion.
Amen. I saw some story the other day where they're not allowed, and I can't remember where it was at, some school where they are not allowed to refer to boys or girls as he and she.
Did you read that article? I did. I saw that. That's incredible, brother.
You talk about confusion.
Well, this is also, you know, your little daughter can go to the restroom somewhere and some perverted man will dress up like a woman and go in there.
Right.
Let me tell you something, parents. Don't send your children to the bathroom, public restrooms, by themselves.
Oh, no.
Go with them.
No, brother, I worked at a Walmart here locally for a couple years, and I worked there in the Vision Center, and it was close to the bathroom area. And there's one particular fella, and I mean, he was creepy looking to begin with, and I always noticed he was in there with a wife beater on. You know what I mean, don't you? An A shirt.
Yep. Yeah.
And he's walking around in a wife beater and a pair of shorts, and he's walking the store. And I know there are people who actually walk the stores for their exercise. But he would do that, but he would walk into one bathroom and he would check in there and then he'd walk back to the... I followed him around a couple times and he would check the bathrooms. And you know, it was very obvious what he was doing. And reported the guy several times. They never did anything about it. But yeah, there are people that do that.
Yep, absolutely. So you gotta... Don't send your children to public restrooms by themselves. You always... accompany them with an adult or, you know, somebody older that can keep an eye on them, because there's just some perverts out there. All right. But we understand that Satan is the author of confusion. We understand that. He's the one that he likes confusion. And, brother, we're living in some confusing, mixed up times with people. they're completely consumed and they're completely mixed up.
Absolutely, and they're brainwashed into believing that right is left and up is down and war is peace and perversion is love. I'm telling you, whoever was the brains behind this MK Ultra project and whatever the other one was, I can't remember what it was, but I know these have been plans in the highest upper echelons of government, and every government has a nefarious, horrible, horrific control mentality behind it, and they've figured out ways to brainwash people. The only thing that keeps our brains from being washed is the washing of the Word of God.
Amen.
Otherwise, we'd be completely brainwashed with them. It's the antidote. And that's why somebody said a long time ago, you know, it's virtually impossible to enslave a Bible-believing people. And because, you know, we're never going to be enslaved. We always have the freedom in Christ. And that's what makes us different. And that's why the world is so, so brainwashed.
Amen.
Because they don't have a governor. They don't have a governor.
None. Absolutely, that's correct. You know, the first attack that I see that was made by the sodomite agenda was really an attack through media and television. And you see a subtle attack that took place. And it intensified
right.
as time went on. They started showing, you know, the first thing I remember them starting to show when I was a kid, these were reruns because I'm not that old, but they would show these shows with cross-dressers in them.
Well, you know, all of them. Yeah, Bosom Buddies. You had Tom.
Yeah, that's it, Bosom Buddies.
Well, let's not forget this one, too. Three's Company.
That guy was supposed to be a fruit.
He was, but he wasn't. But he was trying. He was giving that impression.
That's right. Jack was his name.
Jack Tripper. Janet and Chrissy and Jack Tripper.
That's
Mr.
right.
And Mrs. Roper.
And Barney Fife was the landlord.
Exactly. Mr. Roper. No, you're thinking
Mr.
of Mr.
Roper.
Furley.
Mr. Furley.
That was later.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a leisure suit wearing bad dude anyway, Mr. Furley. But let's get away from that for just a second. But even Gomer Pyle. Jim Nabors?
I heard he was a sodomite.
Oh, he was a sodomite.
Unbelievable. One of the funniest guys ever in a sodomite.
Yep. Golly. Yep. Gomer Pyle.
What would Andy and Barney have thought?
Well, I'm sure they knew it. I'm sure they knew it, brother.
Yeah, I think you're right. That ain't Mayberry.
No, Mayberry, you think about it. Mayberry kicked out a sodomite and one of the worst God-hating directors ever in Ron Howard.
Yeah, and then Andy Griffith became the biggest promoter of Obamacare there ever was.
Exactly. Didn't he die?
Yeah, he did, yeah.
Okay, that was the last thing he did was Obamacare.
Yeah, that was it. That was his final stand.
But we were being prepared, absolutely. Also, let's not forget... I read somewhere that the black comedian, what was his name? Filthy Mouth Black Comedian, David Chappelle. He
uh-huh.
was real big. He quit the entertainment industry because they were trying to make him, they have a rite of passage that
yep.
if a black comedian is going to make it, he has to do a movie where he cross-dresses. And if you think back through history, every single one of them has done a movie where they were in drag.
Eddie Murphy would not do it.
So he quit the industry.
Eddie Murphy was one of those guys that did that.
Sure. All of them did. Martin Lawrence.
Mama's House.
Tyler, what's his name? He'd make a career
out of
it. Oh,
that guy. Yeah, Tyler Perry. He's an occultic.
He made a career out of it.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did.
Yeah,
see how they use comedy to do that?
Of course.
Yeah.
Absolutely. They desensitize people to the idea. You had Flip Wilson back in the 70s dressed up as Geraldine. The devil made me do it.
Wow.
Richard Pryor did it. They all did it.
Unbelievable. Yep, and that was the setup for it. It was a conditioning plan. It was Satan knew that he could slowly put things in the eyes of people.
Mm-hmm.
And they would over time just accept it.
Right.
You know, the Bible says in Lamentations 3:51, mine eye affecteth mine heart.
I remember growing up as a kid, they used to have some kind of goofy thing down at the high school auditorium where all the men dressed up in drag and paraded across there. It was some kind of thing everybody laughed at, thought it was hilarious.
Brother, you know what I saw one time? And this was about ten years ago in a church that I was a part of. They did a play where these men dressed as women.
In a church.
In a church. In a Baptist church. In a fundamental Baptist church. And they all laughed and thought it was a big joke.
Right. You know, that's independent fundamental Baptist. And I was one for many, many, many years. It's something about, and I know I'm trailing off on a rabbit trail, but.
Not really.
Jack Hiles instilled this idea of drama and showmanship and theater into the Baptist church.
Yep.
Absolutely. There's theater now. That's what he's big day. You have to have a theme. It's like Vacation Bible School on steroids for grown-ups.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is, brother.
It's a sideshow Bob act.
Sure is, and it's very popular now. And if you don't do it, there's something wrong with you.
Right, you want everybody to die and go to hell. You're a liberal compromiser who wants everybody to die and go to hell.
That's right. That's exactly it. That's what's pushed today. So the churches are becoming no different than the world.
Right.
Now you look at this. Hollywood has that sodomite agenda they started long ago. The Bible warns us to keep thy heart with all diligence. For out of it floweth the issues of life.
That's right.
But Hollywood had this sodomite agenda. Homosexual advocacy on television. I want to read you some things here, brother. It first began to manifest itself in the 1970s. In 1972, I don't know if you've ever heard of any of these things, brother. Maybe you have. Made for TV movie That Certain Summer featured Hal Holbrook and Martin Sheen as a gay couple. Go ahead.
There were a lot of those after-school specials that were awfully questionable.
I'm telling you, the after-school specials were weird, man.
Yeah, they were.
That's all I'm going to say about that. Anyway,
they were very weird.
In 1973, the reality show An American Family featured son Lance Louds coming out. Billy Crystal played a gay character on the ABC sitcom Soap in 1977.
Yes. Oh, yes. I remember Soap very, very much. That was a show you didn't watch, but I watched it anyway a couple times. Didn't much care for it, but he was very much out.
Right. So there was a sodomite there coming out. They were prepping. They were using comedy.
Oh, sure. You remember... what was the name of that show? Designing Women.
Yes. The black guy.
You had the black guy. And there was the other guy. What was his name? John Jay? I can't remember his name, but he was one of the early pioneers of pushing it out there.
Yes.
Trying to remember. Yeah, I can't quite remember his name. I think it was John Jay. But absolutely, you had those. They had those characters, those sodomite characters on all these shows. And even, I'll even go back as far as Mary Tyler Moore. I even think Murray that was played by Gavin McLeod. I think his character was even gay.
What was his name?
Murray.
Murray.
He played the. He was the captain of the Love Boat.
I remember the Love Boat. Yeah.
Wow. Seems like we had a little. Oh, and you had. Oh, let's not forget. Let's not forget MASH.
That's right, Klinger. The crossdresser.
Yep, Ed Klinger.
Didn't he dress like a woman?
He did, because he wanted a release from the Army. So he was supposedly wasn't gay, but was cross-dressing to be released.
So they'd say he was insane.
Yeah, don't ask, don't tell. But that was before don't ask, don't tell.
That didn't work out very well. So we see this, and by the way, listen to this about that show, Soap. That show was kept on, though it consistently lost money. ABC put on Soap for 4 seasons.
Hmm. Well,
I wonder why. I wonder why.
Well, there was some people in the background pushing real hard for that, weren't they?
Yeah, there sure are, just like there is today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like we have them pushing the sodomite agenda all over the place today. And let me say something to you. I have never in my life, when I go out in public and walk or go to the store any place, see more little skinny, effeminate-looking men than I have seen in my entire life now. I see them everywhere. It's like they're these little string bean men. They're not very big. They're these little string bean men, and they all act like fairies.
And they wear their V-neck T-shirts and their skinny jeans.
I can't stand those skinny jeans.
No, no.
Those things are just the most effeminate-looking thing I've ever seen in my life. And anyway. All right, so
do we have any sodomites calling in tonight?
Yeah. Are there any sodomites that are calling in tonight? Because if they are, they're going to talk to Brandon. But this push towards normalizing homosexuality reached full torque in the latter decades. NBC sitcom in the 90s, Friends.
Now, I'm trying to remember who was the homosexual in that crowd.
Well, I'll get to it here. Let's see. Remember, it was Friends aired an episode. Anderson's sister as the official celebrating the wedding. Ben Shapiro for his book Primetime Propaganda, that when we cast Candace Gingrich as the minister of that wedding, was there a bit of a blank you in it to the right wing? Yep. They were basically shoving it in everybody's face.
Right.
Ellen featuring, I remember what that was. See, I was lost and I watched all kinds of bad things when I was lost, but I remember, wasn't it that Ross's, the character that played Ross, his wife turned out to be a lesbian and she divorced.
I think so. Yes, I do remember. I do believe that's what happened.
Right, that's what it was. So that was the storyline. Ellen featuring a lesbian, Ellen Degenerate.
Yeah, I love to call her that. She's a degenerate.
A wicked, heinous lady. Woman, sorry, right. Not a lady.
No.
She created a stir when she came out on air.
Yeah, I didn't watch that, but I'm not surprised.
As if that would have been a big surprise to anybody.
Has Richard Simmons officially came out yet?
I don't know, but I hope he goes back in.
If that's what's in there, we don't want any more.
I wish you could put some pants on, man, instead of wearing them shorts, man. That is just really scary.
Yeah, I know. Every time he ever sat down in a chair on TV, it scared me.
I mean, it's just horrible. God help us. That's why I don't watch the stuff. It's filling the airwaves, man. The television.
Isn't Richard? isn't Richard Simmons enough proof that this is a bad idea?
It should be. He should be.
I mean, really.
He actually should be.
I mean, you really, if you stand back and just look at the horrible, horrific mess, not just the latest images that have been put in your face, but if you step back and look at the whole situation, it's just absolutely barbaric filthy.
Yes, it is. Completely,
and
brother.
People do it. People can't do it. They listen, what happens is people feel like they're drowning in. And so they can't fight it anymore, so they give up.
You know, and it's a bombardment of it. It's showing it over and over and over and over again. Will and Grace featured a gay man and a straight woman rooming together.
Oh, yeah.
See?
That was I believe that was the first actual gay character show.
And it was a hit.
Oh, yeah.
People loved it. They watched it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, there's an article here from Newsbusters. I want to read part of some excerpts from it here. It says, today the airwaves are awash in pro-homosexual content. GLAAD tracks how often networks air homosexual characters on their shows. Fox's musical comedy Glee is on the front lines of homosexual advocacy, showing gay sex and slamming anti-gay bullying. Other popular shows prominently featuring homosexuals include Grey's Anatomy and Modern Family. Late Night with Conan O'Brien host Conan O'Brien even officiated a gay wedding in 2011.
Really? I guess he got his minister's license for that.
He must have got his minister's license for that. Can you believe that? They probably got an ordination through a Cracker Jack box or something. And this guy went out and did a wedding.
Hey, from the Universal Life Church of America, I think is what it's called. You can get you a minister's license for $5 online.
Well, that's about what it's worth, too.
Exactly.
Oh, well, we all know that's not a real church anyway, don't we?
Amen.
Right, well, let's move on here. It's no wonder Ben Shapiro declares in primetime propaganda that television is the culture's most ardent advocate for gay marriage.
Yeah.
Filmmakers have also not been shy about their support for gay marriage. The 2005 film Brokeback Mountain.
Oh, yeah.
You want to talk about the most disgusting thing in the world. Queer Cowboys,
yep.
it's got to be an oxymoron.
I know one thing. I wouldn't want to watch that in 3D.
No, sir. The 2005 film Brokeback Mountain, which was nominated for an Academy Award for Best Picture, featured two cowboys in a sodomite relationship. The 2008 film Milk, the story of Harvey Milk, the first openly sodomite man to be elected into public office in California. See, they're prepping. It's all prepping. Hollywood was to prep.
Yeah, years ago, wait a minute, back in the 80s even, or maybe the 90s, there was a movie called The Basketball Diaries. I remember because my brother saw it, and he was horrified when Leonardo DiCaprio started making out with another guy in the movie.
Yeah, that makes me sick. That's absolutely filthy and disgusting in the sight of God.
Amen.
God hates that garbage. The Perfect Family, which mocks a devout Catholic as a bigot for opposing homosexuality, is Hollywood's most recent latest pro-homosexual effort. Hollywood actors and directors have not been shy about their goal to normalize homosexuality. Well, look, now they're moving on to transgenderism, which is the same thing, only it's more blatant, and it's this, you know what they want to do? They want to make it so you won't know what a man or a woman is.
Right. Yeah, you're right. You just everybody's just an androgynous. Well, isn't it Orwell's 1984? Wasn't that what they were working for? Was that androgynous society where procreation is never even enters into people's minds? They're just workers.
Right. That's it. That's it.
I'm telling you,
it's
that's
a
the
bunch
blueprint.
Of drones.
That's the blueprint.
Yeah, I like somebody said that on a meme one time. It's not supposed to be a blueprint.
Right, but it is.
It was supposed to be a warning, not a blueprint.
But they used it, didn't they?
They sure did. I don't think it was a warning. I think it was a blueprint.
Mm-hmm.
But, that's that ultra conspiracy side of me.
And Aldous Huxley's Brave New World.
Oh, yeah. Good old New Atlantis. Hollywood actors and directors have not been shy about their goal to normalize it. The Ryan Murphy, listen to this, the creator of Glee, he says this, "Hopefully I have made it possible for someday on broadcast television to do a blank scene in 3 years. I'm not gonna go into any more detail than that."
I understood.
And I didn't want to use the words that he used. Even though they weren't curse words, they're just that disgusting. So I don't need to do that. But he wants to see that sodomite scene in 3 years on television. Now that ought to make you absolutely angry.
It does make me angry, brother. It doesn't surprise me, though.
No.
And that's the sad part. It doesn't surprise me.
He says this about Mark Casey, ABC executive Mark Casey, says this about soap. He says, "I mentioned that soap was one of the favorite shows I ever put on the air. It dealt with homosexuality when nobody was. It dealt with all sorts of stuff that you just couldn't do with television, but we did. And I thought that was a great thing to do." And
well, you know, what a great thing.
Yeah, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah is a good warning, isn't it?
Amen. But if anybody would heed it.
But these people are just like Sodom and Gomorrah. I believe these sodomites in America would try to rape the angels that came to deliver the saints.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you.
Yep. You got a sodomite Gestapo, and it's on the run. I mean, it's on
it
the
is.
Warpath.
Oh, it's pushing. It's pushing for you comply or else. You know, all those chick tracts that I read back in the 90s, and, you know, just these tracts put up a jack chick about what it's going to be like in the future. It's crazy, but it's all seeming to just come true.
It's all prophecy. It's all coming to pass.
Yeah.
I know it. It's scary. It's just very sad. Because, you know, and I'm not scared for me because I know where I'm going and I know who saved me. But it's scary for the loved ones that are lost, and it's scary for our children to grow up in this world. Because you know what's really sad, brother? Your sons and your grandchildren and my children and your children, they're not going to know the America that we knew.
No.
It's gone.
I don't know her anymore, that's for sure.
You know, it's gone.
It is. Long gone.
And we're just, you know, we're just playing the fiddle while America burns. I mean,
right.
I mean, that's what's happening in America.
When I was a kid, I used to hear my grandpa's generation talk about, you know, things not being like they used to be. And they lamented it, but it was still functional. The world was still functional. Hey, listen, my world is not like it used to be when I was a kid, and it's not really that functional anymore.
No. No,
I'm a dinosaur.
No, we're very strange to the world today, and that's good in one sense, but it's woe unto the world, you know, because of what's coming. Let me read you a few more things here about what these guys brag about, because I want you to see that Hollywood, and basically I hope all the folks that listen to this, what is my goal tonight is for you to say, I'm not going to support Hollywood. I'm not going to watch their stinking television shows. I'm not going to watch their stinking movies. Turn them up. I'm going to throw them away. I'm going to break them. I'm going to have an Acts 19 service, and I'm going to get on my knees and ask God to forgive me for defiling my family and myself, and I'm going to walk holy and righteous and separated in this wicked world. Amen.
Amen.
That's my goal.
That's it.
But part of the story, they go on to talk about this agenda. Part of the storyline is where a 12-year-old boy thinks he is gay, and the babysitter tells him it's okay to be gay. The movie is called The Sitter. In 2005, what message is that giving? Well, let's talk about this to kids is what it's saying. Let's tell them it's okay. Hey, it's okay to be that way. Don't worry about it.
Right. Brother, if you, and I know you don't, but if you just looked at some of the shows that are being put out by Nickelodeon, as well as the Disney Channel, geared at preteens, and if you only saw how this agenda is being pushed at them, there is a show, and I believe it is on, and I may be wrong, but I think it's on Nickelodeon. It is called Degrassi. And it is a show about teenage sex, both straight and sodomite. And it's a high school. And what little I've gathered from seeing brief glimpses of its commercial, because I would never watch the film, but I'm just saying, it promotes it. It's a teenage drama about nothing but just these kids thinking that they're grown-ups, thinking that, you know, they're just practicing.
Wow.
Going through the motions. Practicing for divorce. Practicing for their flamboyant gay lifestyle.
That's downright scary.
Mm-hmm. I was at a birthday party just the other day I'm not going to say who it was for, but for a little kid, and I'm listening to a room full of women talking about the song in the movie Frozen, the Disney movie, Let It Go. I've never heard this song, but I've heard so many people talk about it that it must be the greatest song ever written in the secular world, because everybody just sings it in the car, and there's been videos on YouTube made by innumerable people singing this song. And I just listen to these grown-ups going on and on about their favorite Disney movies and why they were their favorite Disney movies. And all I could think is, you've been brainwashed by the Magic Kingdom. They have pulled their magic over on you, and they have deceived you in ways you can't even comprehend. And some of these people are professing Christians.
Unreal, brother.
Mm-hmm.
The agenda is alive and well. The devil is alive, and he's working, and he never sleeps.
Amen, that's right.
This Brokeback Mountain, back to this, was one of Hollywood's biggest and boldest attempts to gain sympathy, if not outright support, for those practicing the homosexual lifestyle. But it's not just an isolated effort. There is a well-planned propaganda campaign at work. A campaign laid out all the way back in the 1980s. The movie Brokeback Mountain looks like a big, bold, manly Western movie, but instead of the usual boy meets girl romance, the film is about cowboy meets cowboy. Make me puke.
It is. That's just disgusting.
It's very, very propagandistic. because the entire purpose of the movie is to make homosexuality seem like something good and appealing and to make people who are opposed to homosexuality bigots and homophobes, says David Kapelian, the author of The Marketing of Evil. There have been homosexual movies for years, but they are usually marketed to gay and art house audiences. This was not the case with Brokeback. They are marketing Red State Bush Country Americans.
Well, I personally couldn't tell you of anybody that went and saw it.
Wow. But the way the studio did that was by opening it up to just five blue state cities where there were large built-in gay audiences. Consequently, the first showings had blockbuster numbers. And they get these high numbers and all the buzz going. Then pretty soon it's sort of like the Emperor's New Clothes effect. We're all looking at that, even middle Christian America, saying everybody else says this movie is so great. I need to go see why it's so great.
Just like when the Beatles showed up and they hired those girls to go and scream at that fence.
Yeah, it's all a plot. Authors Alan Sears and Craig Osten, in a book called The Homosexual Agenda, warn about a complex and well-thought-out strategy to make America gay-friendly and hostile toward those who resist. These Christian authors quote extensively from After the Ball. Listen to this, a 1989 gay manifesto that led out this agenda. Many gays deny such an agenda exists. Gay activist Tony Broad is the executive director of Equality California asserts there's no secret plan or even public plan at this point. But the authors of After the Ball discussed in the book about a 1988 summit of gay leaders in Warrenton, Virginia, who came together to agree on the agenda. These authors are Marshall Kirk, a reportedly brilliant researcher into the brain. Hear that? And Hunter Mattson, a Harvard-trained expert in public persuasion tactics. The two men proposed using tactics on straight America that are remarkably similar to the brainwashing methods of Mao Zedong. Did I say his name right?
You did.
Man. The communist Chinese. How about that? He was a great guy. Wasn't he, old Mao?
Oh, yeah.
Mixed with Madison Avenue's most persuasive selling techniques. Hey, is that a soul-winning program? Nope, that's not. It's the gay agenda trying to sell you. It's propaganda.
It is.
It's
they've sold it to this generation of kids coming up. I'm telling you, they're sold on it.
Yeah, they are. You can see it in their faces.
Mm-hmm.
What was the purpose of all this brainwashing?
To free everybody.
You know what they said? They said, according to Kirk and Hudson, the old gay manifesto guys, they said this, the very processes that made America hate us, to turn their hatred into warm regard, whether they like it or not. Mind control. First, they proposed homosexuals and their liberal allies should desensitize heterosexuals by getting homosexuality talked about as much as possible in the straight world. The main thing, the author said, is talk about gayness until the issue becomes thoroughly tiresome. You can forget about trying right up front to persuade folks that homosexuality is a good thing, but if you can get them to think it's just another thing,
right?
Parody, no more than shrug shoulders. Right.
You get them jaded. That's why they're going to accept genocide and euthanasia, and that's why they accept abortion, because they've been showed so much death and destruction, it's not a big deal anymore.
No phase. Then your battle for legal and social rights is virtually won. Sears goes on to say we're talking about a demand for a behavior that not only wants to be condemned, wants to not be condemned, but to have every affirmation from every possible point that it is correct. It's good. Mm-hmm. That's the goal, folks, which you don't understand. What they want. What they want is total exception.
Yeah, they want to be considered normal.
And they want to meld it into your family so you're a part of it. That's what they want. They won't be happy till everybody's got a sodomite everywhere in their family.
Right.
Now look at the media. Over the past decade, there was a tidal wave of gays and gay themes. The Showtime hit The L Word follows the lives of a group of lesbians.
Yep. I remember that. Not that I watched it, but I remember.
From shows like NBC's Will and Grace to Modern Family, gay-themed shows have taken a prominent role in primetime. Desperate Housewives and The Office even made time for the occasional gay guy subplot.
Right. Yeah, The Office kind of made fun of it more than it did anything else, but they surely promoted it.
Right, but that's how it works.
Right.
Mine eye affects mine heart.
Right.
Another point that Kirk and Madsen push is portray gays as victims of circumstances and oppression, not as aggressive challengers. Once you come out to a sodomite rally and YouTube a sodomite rally and you tell me they're oppressed people, no, they're the ones that are trying to smack the preachers, spit on them. Go to my YouTube page and go to the video of a sodomite telling me he wants to recruit my son and tries to walk around me to get to my son.
Brother, you had a lot of restraining grace on you that day.
Yes.
Because ordinarily, it would have been curtains for that guy.
Yeah, it would have been. But the Bible says the love of Christ constraineth us.
Right.
And he better thank God that the love of Christ constrained me.
Amen. Yeah, the last thing I would want to see would be a mad Brother Cooley headed at me with his fist balled up.
But you know what? The Lord had a hold of us, and I've seen that man's plight, that he's going to die and go to a sinner's hell.
That's right.
And he needs to be saved. I'd protect my family. I protect my family with my life. Don't make no mistake about that.
Amen. You know,
absolutely, with my life, I would. But that man, he got the truth. And boy, I'll tell you what: when that old Bible came out, the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominables, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. Boy, he's set to walking. Boy, he was out of there.
Amen. It's just like them girls saying, if it's just a book, why are you getting so nervous?
Amen.
If it's just a book, why are you getting so mad?
That's right, brother.
That's right. It's just a book till you start calling your sin out.
Amen.
Start hearing what God's going to do. Amen. Get serious then.
So he says here their motivation, gays must be portrayed as victims in need of protection so that straights will be inclined by reflex to assume the role of protector.
That's funny to me.
Yeah.
They want us to protect them because they can't protect themselves.
Mm. No, it's because they're creating such offenses. They think that everybody's going to put up with it.
Yeah.
Benjamin Bull of the Alliance Defense Fund said this: suddenly, those who choose homosexuality. Behavior, sodomy, are victims. It's crazy, end quote. Excuse me, he's right about that.
Yeah.
When a homosexual is one on getting themselves seen as persecuted minority, turning to the movies, the wildly popular Saved movie. You remember that movie, Saved?
I remember it had Macaulay Culkin from the Home Alone movie. I didn't see it, but I remember hearing about it.
Portrays born again Christians. Yeah. They portrayed us as cruel homophobes trying to reprogram poor young misunderstood gays in their midst.
Hmm. My goodness.
Trembling before God is about how Orthodox and Hasidic homosexuals are persecuted and not accepted. Conspiracy of Silence argues that some gay priests are hounded to death because they cannot act out their homosexuality.
Well, they're tortured. Poor things.
Well, that's not... We know they do act out their sodomy. We know that they...
Absolutely.
They get... Rome just passes them around to somebody else and sends them off to some other parish so they can rape some other kid somewhere in some land that nobody knows about.
Yep, that's right, brother. I mean, I don't understand how anybody... Well, again, I do understand. They're blind. They can't see. It's amazing. It's such an incredible thing what Christ does. Whenever he comes in, he absolutely gives you clear vision to see these things. And I know tonight we're just simply trying to impress on the saints the need for a wake-up call to deal with what's going on around them and stand for truth and right. But we, unless the Lord Jesus Christ opens the eyes of those who are blind, they're never going to see.
That's right. That's right.
Why repentance is necessary.
You better believe it is. It's absolutely necessary. How about this one, brother? The conspiracy of silence argues that some gay priests are hounded to death. And then as you move on along here, Kirk and Mattson, back those two boys that wrote that, the average American watches over 7 hours of TV daily. Those hours open up a gateway into the private world of straits through which a Trojan horse might be passed.
Hey, remember Queer Eye for the Straight Guy?
I remember that.
Yeah, straight men don't know how to decorate their homes, so you need a queer guy to straighten you out.
Wow.
So they had five queers, and I'm calling them queers. That's what they called themselves. They had five queers who were telling a straight guy how to decorate his home, and then his sweetie would come in and see it, and they'd all just stand back and put their hands over their mouths and just clap and be so happy for the straight guy. He learned how to be a metrosexual.
Wow. Wow. How long was that show on for?
I don't know how long it was on, but it was very popular for a while.
Here's some things here that I want to give you a few more of these. Oprah Winfrey, who influences millions, promoted homosexuality when she made a cameo appearance on Ellen DeGeneres' coming out episode. Since Oprah claims to be a Christian when, in fact, she's a New Ager, she has dumped God only... The Lord only knows how many biblically uninformed Christians on this issue. She's duped them all. They're fooled. They've been hornswoggled. And they're not – I don't think they're even Christians, though, by the way. I don't think a Christian can be hornswoggled on this issue. I think if you're saved, you're saved. But if you're an Oprah Winfrey type of a Christian, then you're a lost sinner on your way to a devil's hell.
Right. No, I don't think a Christian can be hornswoggled. I mean, to what degree one considers oneself hornswoggled, I don't know. That's kind of iffy, but I'm used to humor here with the hornswoggling.
You like that word?
Well, that's kind of hillbilly, and I'm kind of amazed that you, being a flatlander or whatever, the word hornswoggled. Well, but bamboozled is another one, and I don't think a Christian can be bamboozled either. No, once our eyes are, again, like I said, like once the Holy Ghost of God, once the light's on, the Holy Ghost of God, he moves into that darkened, dead spirit, brings it to life and turns the light on, and we see things from God's perspective as long as we are in the Word of God. Once, and we are in the daily place of prayer, once we stop coming to the place of prayer, once we stop reading the Bible on a regular basis, once we stop letting our mind get washed, the Holy Ghost of God, his voice gets so distant and so far away, and the screams of this world overpower. And so, it's like that old saying, sin will take you further than you meant to go, it'll keep you longer than you meant to stay, and it'll cost you way more than you meant to pay. And that's true for the believer who gets backslid. And that's why it's so crucial that we maintain a close walk with God.
Amen. You know, brother, this agenda, it just rolls on here. There's so many examples of it. Movies that are shows, Degrassi, Grey's Anatomy, Pretty Little Liars, Glee. They get homosexuality awards from GLAAD all the time for promoting these lifestyles. Parents allow their children to watch these programs. Famous historical figures are especially useful, they say, to us for two reasons. First, they are invariably dead as a doornail, hence in no position to deny the truth and sue for libel. Second, and more serious, the virtues and accomplishments that make these historic gay figures admirable cannot be gainsaid or dismissed by the public. Since high school history textbooks have already set them in incontrovertible cement by casting its violet spotlight on such revered heroes, in no time a skillful media campaign could have the gay community looking like the veritable fairy godmother to Western civilization. That was their plan. That's after the fall. That was their plan. How about gay X-Men screenwriter Dan Harris, who wrote the screenplay for X-Men 2? He said, gay screenwriter Michael Daugherty admitted that he sees X-Men mutancy and the X-Men struggle for acceptance in society as corresponding to homosexuality. He says this, it's become more of a metaphor for sexual identity and orientation because it's more appropriate to look at a person and have to say, are you a mutant? You can't always look at a person and know that they're a mutant, just like you can't look at a person and know that they're gay.
Well, I usually have, well, you know, the joke is gaydar. I kind of have a little bit of that. Usually I'm not too far.
Openly gay X-Men director Bryan Singer has not only directed most of the X-Men movies, but recruited openly gay activist actor Ian McKellen to star as Magneto by convincing him that mutants were comparable to struggling gays. McKellen stated, I think he expected that I was going to consider it not a posh enough job, but revealed that he was told that X-Men is really about lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people. I thought he was right, says McKellen. It's not just a fantasy story. It's a parable. McKellen is the co-founder of the LGBT gay activist group Stonewall. Listen to me. You're being duped, you people out there that are supporting X-Men and Marvel Comics and Disney and all this other stuff. You are supporting the sodomite agenda.
That's right.
And these guys are telling you we are fitting a line in this story, and what it's really about is the sodomite.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's really about, these mutants. In the latest X-Men installment, when an X-Man who works for the U.S. military is asked how he got away with being discovered through the years, he replies, well, they didn't ask, and I didn't tell. So what's he doing? He's referencing Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Exactly.
They fly it just under the gaydar so you don't notice it. That's what they're doing. Thus, the line is drawn from this X-Men superpower to homosexuality, and Hollywood has gone a step further than simply legitimizing what billions of people deem to be sinful and destructive behavior, to glorifying as it's something to be coveted like. It's cool. Superpowers are cool. How about Johnny Depp? Now, I want to listen to this. You that like pirates. This pirate, Johnny Depp, and all the, and these Pirates of the Caribbean, listen to this. Johnny Depp admits that he read the book Sodomy and the Pirate Tradition to prepare for his starring role as Captain Jack Sparrow.
Say what?
Yeah, he read the famous book Sodomy and the Pirate Tradition to prepare for Captain Jack Sparrow.
So, pirates for sodomites, is that what we're hearing?
That's it. And Johnny Depp seems to be channeling a drunken drag queen with his eyeliner and the way he minces ashore and slurs his dialogue ever so insouciantly, whatever that means. I can't even say that. When Rolling Stone asked Depp, gay undercurrent, so obvious in his Jack Sparrow character, Depp responded this, and I quote, well, there was a great book I read, Sodomy and the Pirate Tradition, a very interesting book. I wasn't exactly going for that with the character. And Keith Richards is not flamboyant in his actions. Keith is pretty stealth. But with Jack, it was more that I liked the idea of being ambiguous, of taking his character and making everything a little bit questionable. Because women were thought to be bad luck on ships, and these pirates would go out for years at a time. So, you know, there's the possibility that one thing might lead to another. You're lonely. You have an extra ration of rum. Cabin boy!
Wow.
Well.
So he was going for the Keith. So Keith Richards is gay too, I assume, from that comment. Well, I mean, I wouldn't. Why would I not think that? But
yeah, they're all a bunch of fruits to me.
Yeah.
But and I know I get people mad when they say that, but you shouldn't say that. Don't say that. No, I know. Don't say anything. Let's just be soft little teddy bears and don't ever offend anybody and don't upset anybody. And don't preach out the thunder, and don't let them know what they really are, and don't tell them of their peril, and just go to sleep!
Yep. Shut up and go back to your pulpit, preacher.
Yeah, that's what I was told. That's what that police officer said to my father. He said, "You guys need to do this in the church house, not here."
Well... You guys do your job on the police in the police station and not here.
Yeah, exactly. That's how that should work. All right. Well, to start the most obvious place, Disney. Disney offered. Did you know that Disney promoted this gay agenda to a long time ago? Disney offered its gay employees health insurance benefits for their partners way back in 1995, a decision that was not popular. One of the most poignant examples of the company's tolerant atmosphere in the case of lyricist Howard Ashman, who was openly gay and died of AIDS in 1991. Not only did Ashman write songs for The Little Mermaid, Beauty and the Beast, and Aladdin, he also closely involved in those films' productions. He casted actors and held story meetings with animators. At the end of Beauty and the Beast, Disney acknowledges his contributions with this tribute to our friend Howard Ashman, who gave a mermaid her voice and a beast his soul. We will be forever grateful. How about the genie in Aladdin?
Yeah.
In another instance, a gender bender, the genie in Aladdin shapeshifts into many characters, including female ones, and even dons feminine clothes and underwear at different points in the film. Indeed, Aladdin's romance with Jasmine is much less developed than his friendship with the genie, and his decision to free the genie provides the movie's poignant climax. Robin Williams' character even acknowledges the queer undercurrent. He says this, "I'm getting kind of fond of you, kid. Not that I want to pick out curtains or anything."
Well, Robin Williams, you talk about somebody who's been flamboyant for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Couldn't help but have a gay genie with Robin Williams at the helm.
That's right. Another obvious example, Mulan, where the protagonist disguises herself as a male soldier. When the soldiers later dress themselves as courtesans so they can sneak into the palace, the film completes its theme of gender and performance with women pretending to be men and men pretending to be women. Mulan's I Want song also plays like an anthem for kids born into the wrong gender body. When will my reflection show who I am inside? And intriguingly, the film insinuates that her male captain fell in love with her while she was masquerading as a man.
Well, I don't know about that, but I do remember two things that we've forgotten. Actually, three. When you mentioned Robin Williams, let's not forget Mrs. Doubtfire.
That's right.
Let's not forget Tootsie. With Dustin Hoffman.
Dustin Hoffman, Tootsie.
And let's not forget, before that, Mr. Mom. Just the idea of feminizing dad.
What is this?
I've forgotten all three of those.
Do you know what this really is? It's sodomite mind control and brainwashing is what it really is.
Sure. You are absolutely right, brother.
You know, that's what it is. And
mm-hmm.
Hollywood has been one of the major arms of the sodomite movement. They have pushed it. They have taught it. And they have convinced an entire generation or entire generations.
Oh, definitely generation. I mean, three generations at the vet, probably four. If you really want to be fair, probably four generations that they've really, truly influenced.
That it's okay to be a sodomite.
Yep.
It's okay. It's okay to be gay. That's what they're pushing.
Brother, it just makes me so sad that so many people are going to die in their sins. And the time is so short. And so few people care. And so
That's
few
right.
Christians will stand up and say a word. And we're going to go out without a whimper, it seems. And it's sad. It breaks my heart. It breaks my heart because when I think about what Jesus did for us, when I think about how he suffered for us, and I see how little we suffer for him, it breaks my heart. And it ought to break the heart of some Christians out there listening tonight to know that Christ, he took every lash of that whip across his back, tore his flesh, and tore furrows across his body until his flesh hung his ribbons at his side and his internal organs peeked out from between his ribs. And he did that for us. He did that because of sin. He took upon him punishment. God punished Jesus. His wrath was put upon him because of us. And Christians, people who claim the name of Christ, are not burdened over their sins. They're not burdened. They're burdened over their finances. They're burdened over their health care plans. They're burdened over politics, but they're not burdened over their sins. And it breaks my heart, brother.
I know it, brother. And you know, right now, what we need, what I want to say to everybody out there, and if a sodomite hears this, I want you to understand something. We don't hate you. The greatest thing that we can do is bring you the truth and tell you that you need to repent of your sins and you need to trust Christ as your Savior. You must turn. The law has condemned you. You are lost. Your sin has condemned you. You are under the condemnation of the law of God. You have broken God's righteous law. And for that all the world may be stopped and all the world may, every mouth may be stopped. And all the world may become guilty before God. And you are guilty before God. You are dead in your trespasses and sins. And you are all your lifetime subject to bondage. And if you will turn to Christ, there is liberty and freedom from the bondage of that wicked, heinous, devilish, disgusting sin of sodomy. God will deliver you from that. God will save your soul, and he will put a new spirit in you, and he'll put a new song in your mouth, and he'll give you life. But you must see your lost, wicked, desperate condition before him and run to his feet and beg him for forgiveness of sins and believe on the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And the Bible says that Christ cleanseth from all sin.
Amen. That's right, brother.
We're gone, brother.
Yeah, we're out of time, but praise God, truth told tonight, as the Bible says, let God be true, but every man a liar. And I tell you, brother, we're gonna have to stand, and our stand's not going to be an easy one, but it's going to be worthwhile when we see Jesus. I guarantee you, when we're able to lay all this down at his feet, oh, what a day that's going to be. I tell you, it's not going to be that bad at the judgment seat for those who've been faithful to him. But for those who just wasted this life, what a tragedy.